Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians in our few minutes here together today. And I want to talk about being at the level that you are and God taking you to another opportunity. And I sense by the Spirit of God that there are a lot of people at our churches today that you're at one level, and that's why we have the videos that we're going to show you, the video games, to get you to another level. On every level that you're at, there's always another level. There's always another level. There's more. But the more comes through the obedience of listening to what God says to you. So Ephesians 5 verse 15, it says, so be very careful how you live. Live wisely, not like fools. I mean that you should use every opportunity. Shout it with me. Every opportunity. One more time, class. What?
Every opportunity.
Use every opportunity that you have for doing good. Because these are evil times. Would you agree with that right now? So don't be foolish with your lives. But learn, I love this part, get in your heart. But learn what the Lord wants your neighbor to do. Wants your pastor to do. Wants your government to do. What's it say?
You
to do. So the biggest problem that we have is the problem that we see staring back at us in the mirror. It's us. It's you. You is the problem. You're like, go back to singing, man. I liked it better when you were singing. Now, God wants to do something in you. But obedience is the blessing exchange. So every time we obey God over here, there's a reward over here. He said, the willing and obedient would eat the good of the land. So we could, my daddy would say, we could flip-flop that and say the unwilling and the disobedient will never really eat the good of the land. Y'all tracking with me? Come on, raise your hand if you're tracking with me. So he said, use every opportunity. These are evil times. And find out what the Lord wants you to do. Now, here's the kicker. It's never exciting. Like, you don't wake up and say, oh, that's my golden opportunity. Opportunity oftentimes hides itself in overhauls. Opportunity hides itself in little details. See, most people look in a clock or for opportunity or people for opportunity or a calendar for opportunity, and they're saying, oh, but here's the problem, but listen to this. The problem with opportunity is every time it comes to my door, it comes with this cousin called opposition. So opportunity always has with it opposition. There's going to be a fight to faith. That's why the Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. And there must be a fight to faith. If there wasn't a fight to faith, God wouldn't have told you there were going to be a fight to faith. In fact, I say the greatest fight to faith is the fight you keep from fighting in your mind. Because the biggest problem you got is your mind. Raise your hand if you got a mind. Raise your hand if, you know, you hate to be offensive to your neighbor, but how many of y'all think your brain is a little bigger than the person's brain next to you? While we're there, how many of y'all think you're a little better driver than the other people on the highway? Raise your hand. Just weird, we all go to the same church. And here in Florida, everybody moving to Florida. Like, there's just too many people in Florida. When I first moved here years ago, there wasn't that many people. I mean, there was a lot, but now there's just too many. I've lived here long enough to say, go home. You don't know how to drive. Go home. There's too many people. But opportunity shows up and opposition is there. Think about this. Remember David in the Bible? When his dad came to him, he didn't say, hey, here's the deal. You have the opportunity to be the next king of Israel. There was none of that. He said, someday, you're going to love this. He said, you could defeat Goliath, and you could, that's what the deal was, you'd never have to pay taxes again. That ought to make the tax-paying people happy. Raise your hand, because IRS agents do come to our church. You do pay your taxes. I like that bumper sticker. It says, don't steal. The government hates competition. So he says, David, when you take this opportunity, you get to pay no taxes ever again, and you get the king's daughter. So he pulled up the king's daughter on Facebook and said, oh, I got to win this. She was fine. But that's not how it really happened. Jesse came, his dad, and said, I need you to take sandwiches to your brothers. This seems like a little task. It doesn't seem like a big opportunity, but he obeyed. Everybody shout, obey. There's an old song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You got to trust and then obey. Without obedience, without corresponding action, there is no faith. All the churches that you're sitting in today, you know, if you're there at Earth City, 177,000 people drive by a day, it's 150,000 square feet. The light bill on the thing is over 20 grand a month, okay? This high school, we pay $13,000 a month to rent it. Every campus has its own obstacle. It's got its own challenges. So people say, I wish I had a big church, or I wish I had a good marriage. And sometimes we need less wishbone and more backbone. And so the obedience brings with it an obstacle. The obstacle is the bills. The obstacle is the trial. The obstacle is the enemy trying to keep you from the promised land that God has you. But because David obeyed, everybody shout, he obeyed.
He obeyed.
Because he obeyed, he got the reward. There is no reward without obedience. Let's pick up on a passage that's very interesting. It's going to help you with this. In Acts chapter 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of church folk. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. They had put James in jail, went through a mock trial, and then they killed him with a sword. And because he saw, this evil king saw that it impressed and pleased the Jews, he proceeded now to go seize Peter. Also during those days of unleavened bread. So when he arrested him, everybody shout, that's a bad day. They arrested Peter, and then they put him in prison and delivered him with four squads of soldiers keeping watch over him. He wasn't like some kind of terrorist. He wasn't a big criminal. Why did they need so many people around him? One, it's just a big dog and pony show. But then two, the enemy is actually more afraid of you than you think he is, because he knows the divine order of God that is on your life. In fact, this is exactly what happened with James. Why did they cut James' head off? Because the early church was making progress. God was doing something, and he wanted to take it off at the head. The enemy always tries to attack the head of an organization, the head of the home. Dads ought to say amen. The head is where the whole body, you can lose your arm, and you're like, oh, man. Now a joke just popped in my head. It's not even a good joke, but we're going there because it just ran past those lyrics that it couldn't give me earlier. Now it's giving me a joke. So an attorney is driving down the road. He's very self-absorbed and very materialistic. He's driving in his Porsche, and some truck passed, and some rock hit the car. And he said, oh my gosh, it scratched my paint. So he gets out. When he opens the door, a truck hits the side of the door. It takes the door off. And he's standing there screaming, my Porsche, my Porsche. The cop pulls over and slaps him to try to get his attention before he kills himself, and puts him up there. And he said, sir, you're screaming about your Porsche and your arm's gone. And he said, my Rolex. Okay, I don't even know why that came in there. Just all in there, and it's all coming out today. So they're afraid of you getting the obedient action that you need. Some of you, that's growth track today. You need to lead church. You've been hearing me say, connect with God, connect with God, connect with other people, and discover your purpose and make a difference. So now if we go through growth track today, and every campus has it, doesn't take very long to do it. That'll be your first act of obedience. It says, wish God had sent me a big job. Wish God had sent me a good man. Wish God had sent me a good woman. Wish God had given me kids. Wish. And we got to say, hey, if you'll obey this and take sandwiches to your brothers, then when Goliath comes, I know that you will obey. Somebody ought to shout amen. Obey what I'm saying to you. So they seized Peter. They arrested him, and they delivered him with the squads of soldiers. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, I love this part. But consistent prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I want to pause there and tell you one thing. When you go to this church, we pray for you every day. Me and Pastor Nicole pray for you. Our campus pastors pray for you. Our staff prays for you. There's not one single day that we do not cover you with the blood of Jesus. But that's why small groups are so important. Because when you get in a group, I might not know you. You know me. People come up to me and say, what's my name? I'm like, and there's a lot of you. I've been coming here 9 years. You don't know my name? I don't know. I tattooed my wife's name on my arm so I would not forget. I'm just not giving names. Okay? There's a lot. But I might not know your name, but God knows the hair on your head. And he is with you. And then you need to get in a group that, you know, K-N-O-W, they know you. And then N-O-U, say no. Shaquita, you're lying to me. You're not dressed up with your eyelashes done, with your weave like that, with that dress on, going to see your mama. You lie! That was a word for somebody. So the church is praying. Everybody shout, the church is praying.
Church is praying.
Consistent prayer was offered to him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, the night before, I want you to read it, Peter was doing what?
Sleeping.
Shout it, class. What was he doing?
Sleeping.
Peter was pacing?
Sleeping.
Peter was praying?
Sleeping.
Peter was singing?
Sleeping.
Peter was sleeping. Now, how in the world, let me ask you a question, how in the world can you know that your best friend, James, would just went up to a judge and their legal system said that his head had to be cut off and you're being accused of the same thing? How in the world can you possibly sleep? There's not enough Lunesta in the pharmaceutical industry to make me sleep, knowing my head's going to be cut off tomorrow. Raise your hand with me right now. Lunesta, it's not even Ambient. You say, I'll take all the Ambient in the world, and I'll take 12 Tylenol PM, and whatever you do. And you, how in the world can you sleep? I think the only way you can sleep is from past experiences, knowing that you've seen God do this before. You say, well, when did that happen? We know that this happened when Jesus was in a boat. And if Jesus had problems, what makes you think you're not going to have a problem? Somebody said, I am the problem. So now, he starts thinking back, I need to sleep tonight. Tomorrow they're going to cut off my head. But it's not going to do me any good to sit here right now and freak out about something that may or may not happen. So he starts reflecting back to when Jesus once was going over, remember this, in a storm, and he told the guys, we're going over to the other side. He said, we're going to the other side. He did not say, there's going to be a terrible storm that's going to scare y'all's pants off. By the way, there's no motors. They are the motors. So they're toying, and the Bible said it was like a hurricane. And they're pushing, and they're toiling, and now they're scared, and the whole boat is overcoming water. In fact, they got so scared, they wet their pants, but you couldn't tell that they wet their pants because all the water from the outside was wetting their pants. I thought of another joke, but we don't have time for it right now. So Jesus is downstairs. Remember what he was doing? Sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. In the midst of a storm, he had peace that passes all understanding. So for you to take this new opportunity, there is going to be opposition. But with the opportunity and the opposition, if you're in position, oh, I'm preaching right now, to say, you know what? The greater one is living and abiding on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. When the enemy comes at me one way, they're going to flee seven ways. So I'm going to lay my little head down right now, and I'm going to go to sleep. Some sleep would do you good. Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains. Didn't even know he was in prison, did he? He was right next to little Wayne in the chain next to him. Between, everybody shout, between. Shout it again. What? Between two soldiers. Now get this. He is sleeping between two soldiers. Sometimes you got to sleep between. Between when the bill is due and God said he'd meet your need. The doctor said, we're going to give you a report on Monday, and you're trying to sleep, but you're just laying there knowing God said he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. I'm going to sleep knowing tonight with long life. He satisfied me, and he showed me his salvation. And then if you did die, if you woke up dead, think about that. If you woke up dead, if you're a born-again Christian, then you wake up in heaven. So if the devil comes and said, I'm going to kill you, you go, please, please, for God's sakes, help me out. What are we worried about? We're going to the celestial city where we have family that is already there, where Jesus is there, Moses is there, and Elijah is there, and Esther is there, and the man with the withered hand is there, blind Bartimaeus is there, and the devil is not there. Oh, I wish somebody just praise God just for 10 seconds. Come on, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The devil said, what? He slept between two soldiers. And again, back to Jesus in the boat. He leaves the peaceful shore to go to the destination that God had called Jesus to. And between here and there, there was a lot of stupid stuff happening. I'll show you email. Email. Anybody got email? Here's just one email. I'll pull one up right now. Let's think about it. This made me the other night not sleep so good. So just randomly get an email. It says, hey, Fairview Heights campus update. The auditorium we talked about, polished concrete instead of carpet, that's going to be $38,767. That's quite a bit of money. The front doors, we didn't know that we're going to have to replace all of them. That's $37,817.07. The Faith Kids room, we need to do this and that and the other. And Holland Construction says that's $121,008.88. To demo the next level in that other room is $173,891.50. Barter Electric, they're the cheap guys in the room, $35,000 for what they need. And the fire department, the fire marshal said they were going to require a new fire hydrant in front of the building because we need that. And they want us to do that. They never told us that, but they do now. It's $34,090.54. In fact, I was thinking on the last one because the fire hydrant, I thought, is there any way that we could like buy one of those fake dog fire hydrants and run a hose? Come on, somebody right now, and run a little hose because, you know, we just need to provide something for the dogs. So between God said, I'm going to give you a church in Fairview Heights, there needs to be a church in Fairview Heights, and there's a weed store across the street. There's strip clubs all down there, and God needs a Holy Ghost hospital like this. So I had to go to bed and go, whew, that's a nasty email with a lot of surprises. And I get those all the time. I could take you through loads of those. But what I do as a homeschooler who doesn't know how to spell, spell check's like, can't even help you on that, bro. I don't lean to my own understanding. I acknowledge him in all my ways. I go to bed and I say, I'm going to lay down. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. And then I toss and I turn a little bit, but I say, David Craig, you're not getting up out of this bed. At some point, you're going to get into a REM sleep like Jesus did in the bottom of that boat. And the boat's filling up with water, and he's on a waterbed for the first. Somebody ought to shout amen. And Peter watched what Jesus did. I watched what Peter and Jesus did, and I'm going to do what they did, and I'm going to cast all my cares upon God because this is an opportunity, but it has with it its little baby brother called opposition. Somebody ought to get what I'm saying right now. That's why we got to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I hope I can. Get your hopes up. Look at your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. Look at them again and say, get your hopes up. Slept between the two soldiers. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's resting. He's in a REM sleep. He's in a deep sleep. Now, we talked about angels last week. Verse 7 says, now behold, an angel of the Lord did what? Stood by him. He's over there sleeping. And there's an angel standing right by him in two chains. And there's a light that shone in the prison. And then he struck Peter on the side to raise him up. He's so sleeping that he's turned on the light. It's shining the light bright. The anointing on the angel, it's light, and the light ain't bright. Now, he doesn't have a face mask. They hadn't made those yet. He doesn't have Lunesta yet. He's sitting there, and he's in such a deep, peaceful sleep that the angel had to poke him on the side and say, wake up. That's when you know you're sleeping. Anybody sleep kind of a little bit light and anything wakes you up? Some of y'all, raise your hand again. Every campus, a little bit light, okay? A little bit light sleep. How many of y'all, you just out cold like you're out? That's a few of you. I noticed that when I was preaching sometimes. People just out cold. I didn't mean it. So the angel struck him, raised him up, and said, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Notice this. His chains didn't fall off, and then he got up. He said, arise, Chains are still on. And then when he obeyed and he got up, then the chains fell off. So you're wanting the chains to fall out, and then you say, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. No. You walk by faith even though you're still chained, even though you can't sleep, even though your kid's still acting the fool, even though the doctor's report has not come in, even though the fire hydrant money hadn't came in. What do? We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm telling you, we walk by faith. Come on, one more time, every campus.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
I don't care what it looks like. God's got it. Arise quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird up yourself and tie your sandals, boy. Try tying your tennis shoes. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So apparently he's sleeping in his underwear. So he went out and he followed him. Notice these are little acts of obedience. The angel of the Lord is telling him what to do, and he's doing it. You're like, oh, I would do that too. Well, the Lord told you to tithe, and you ain't done that. The Lord told you to go to church, you ain't done that. Lord told you to walk in love, and you ain't done that. I'm not going to tell you all the stuff you're not doing, but I just want to say sometimes we talk big. Here's what I'd have done. Anybody ever talk big? Here's what I would have done. You need an illustration. I'll give you one. There's a restaurant in St. Louis at Sunset Hills across from Chick-fil-A. It's a sushi restaurant. It's called Tokyo Sushi. And me and Nicole were in a kick a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that we'd go to Tokyo Sushi a lot. We'd eat Tokyo Sushi. And they had booths, okay? What booths is, there's high booths, so they can't see us and we can't see them. We're just sitting here. And there's two guys over there using the worst language you ever heard. You blankety blank, no good, bada 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 bada. And I just was done with it. And so I just got up and I went over there before I had sized up the situation. And I got up and I said, hey, fellas, there's a lady over here. And they both stood up. They're like, yeah. And I was like, hey, I was just wondering if you could, I tell you, right now, yada. And Nicole kind of, I was like, hold me back, Nicole, hold me back. If you hadn't been there, I'd have whooped them. Sometimes we do that, don't we? Ain't nobody admitting to getting whooped but me. I was just like, my wisdom kicked in. I looked at those two guys and I thought, and his right hand is riches and honor, and his left hand's the length of days. So y'all cuss wherever you want to cuss. We're going to go to Cracker Barrel right now. Y'all talking smack. That's what I've done. Everybody shout, that's what I do. So he put up his garment, and he followed him, and they went out. He didn't even know that it was what was really happening. He said, is this angel, is it real? He thought he was seeing a vision. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell you this right now. I'm almost done. His life became so miraculously set free. When he went to bed and he struggled for a moment thinking, it's going to be just like James. You're going to be like James. You're going to cut your head off in the morning. And he said, I'm going to lay here between these two sweaty soldiers, these two sweaty thieves, and I'm going to sit here in these chains, and I'm going to sleep by faith. Even if I'm not sleeping, I'm going to lay in bed and act like I'm sleeping. Anybody? Does anybody else have trouble sometimes controlling your mind? You're going to lay here. At least the rest will do you good. The decompression of your spine will do you good. Everybody else sleeping, you're like, well, I just need to get up. Just all I'm doing is laying here and worrying. No, you're practicing walking by faith. I'm casting all my cares upon him, for he cares for me, and I'm going to this next level. Somebody ought to shout amen. And I'm going to get to that next level, but the only way I'm going to get to the next level, he's getting to the next level. Opportunity. He thought he was having a vision. When they passed the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which was opened unto them on its own accord. And they went out, and immediately the angel departed. So they've got all these gates, all these guards. They've placed multiple guards, and now the angel of the Lord comes in, and he starts saying, hey, wake up, Mr. Lanessa. How much Tylenol PM did you take? And then they're walking, and then they come up that last big gate, and all of a sudden the gate, way before automated gates, the gate opened up, and he said, and this is the part the Lord wants me to get to you, I must be dreaming. There's a scripture, I don't know where it is, but you could Google it. It says, we were like those that dreamed a dream. We must be dreaming. I want you to grab a hold of this before we leave today, that you're getting ready to get such a good report that you're going to go, I must be dreaming. Was this a dream? You're about to move up to another level. You go, the boss wants to see me? Oh, no. And you're like coming out going, moving on up. You're about to go from the basement to the upper level with a view of the city. You're about to go from being employed to an employer. Who am I talking to right now? Don't you give up on your dream. You're right on the midst of a breakthrough. You need to go to bed tonight knowing I've got an opportunity to worry, or I got an opportunity to be full of the word. And I'm going to go on the word side where God meets all of my needs. Come on, stand up with me at every campus.